I asked you earlier to turn your Bible to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Lord Jesus Christ felt the need to go to Samaria, and when he did, he found this woman at Jacob's well, and he had a very interesting conversation about salvation. But we're going to jump down to verse 24, where it says that God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. That's who God is. We have started a series of messages, or one message with a series of it, talking about what Baptists believe about God. We started last Wednesday night, Genesis 1:1. If you're going to start talking about God, that's the place to start. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God did all that. And you find out as you go down through time, through the passage, you go through time each and every day for the 6 days of creation, and God created something different, didn't he? At the end, he created man, he created woman. He said that they were very good. God created. Elohim created. That's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when we talk about God, we talk about God in the way that he is. And the scriptures confirms that he is a spirit. God is not a man. And we're going to find later that God is omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at one time. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. God doesn't do anything different. He does everything exactly the way he ordained to do it. The only time that exists is the time we live in right now. And when this world is over, time will no longer exist. It never existed before that we know of. It never exists after this that we know of. We're never told about anything in the Bible of that sort. You look into all the world and the heavens, and you see all the things out there, stars, moons, planets, everything else out there, all the mess that man has dirtied up out of space. And you look at all that, and God created it all. You know, when you talk about God, and the reason I say we're going to teach God the way Baptists believe it is because Baptists do believe in God differently than most of Christendom does. Most of the religion Christians out there believe in Arminianism. To me, there's two forms of belief. You either believe in the sovereign God, or you believe in the God that can't do anything. You believe in the sovereign God of the universe, or you believe in a God that has no ability to do a thing, that bows to man's will and does what man wants him to do. That's the two points. That's the two areas. Now, you get into many different beliefs and do many different things in between those two, or with those two. Either God is sovereign or he isn't. That's the two schools of thought. And Baptists, I'm not talking about First Baptist or Second Baptist or Third Baptist, I'm talking about real Baptists. We believe that God is sovereign. We believe that he's sovereign over all things. Mm-hmm. We must worship God in the form that he is, as a spirit, as an omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-holy Spirit. We must worship him in his true form. The worst thing a man can do is make God in his image. Because God made us in his image to a point. We do have bodies, don't we? We have functioning bodies. We live, we're born, we live, we die. We either go to heaven or hell when we die. God doesn't do any of that. God doesn't die. God doesn't change in any way. We're going to find that out a little later. So we were looking at that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him two ways. One, as a spirit, and the way you worship God as a spirit is you worship him spiritually. When God saves our souls, he quickens our spirit, our inner man. And that's where God communicates with us. God doesn't open up the heavens and talk to us like he did with Moses and others. He doesn't come to us through a burning bush. I don't even really think he comes to us in a dream. Never has come to me that way. But God has communicated many times with me in my spirit. So we got down to our first point was that in John 4:24, that God is a spirit, not a man. We got down to our fifth sub-point of that. Now God speaks of his hands, his eyes, sitting on his throne of a holy, in the holies of holies, mostly to make us understand things. But God does not have a body of any sort. The way God describes us is that he has us in his hand. That's our security, isn't it? There's nothing special about it except that we're in the hands of God. God speaks to us. He doesn't literally speak to us. I'm not going to open the door and God's going to be there and speak to me. But he speaks to me in my heart, doesn't he? In my spirit, doesn't he? Just like he does all other Christians. And the eyes of God, as scripture proclaims in places, speaks of him seeing us. We understand things more if he says we're in his hands, or he speaks to us, or he sees us. Or he picks us up and carries us. It makes us understand God better, doesn't it? Doesn't mean that God has a hand, or he has feet, or he has a head or a mind. God is a spirit, eternal spirit. To think of God as having a body or any body part can cause one to believe things are not true. This is how things get sent out into the Christian world that isn't true about God. Preachers need to think and understand and study to show themselves approved unto God before they actually start preaching. God doesn't actually sit on a throne. But it makes us understand him sitting on that throne. We see it with our faith, do we not? God is sovereign. He rules over everything. We're going to get into all of this in the next couple of weeks. He rules over everything. Everything bows to God. God bows to no one. God always accomplishes his will. He never loses. No one can reject God. They can reject the offer of salvation and do unless God draws them in. But you cannot reject the call of God. You cannot reject the power of God. You cannot reject the will of God. Because as God says over in John 6, he draws us. As it says over in Philippians, he gives us the will to do those things he wants us to do. Preachers stand at pulpits and say, God can't change your will because you have a free will. And you have a right. That's just like telling a woman she has a right to have an abortion. No, you don't. We don't have any right. We We have a free will, and our free will is bound to sin. It's not bound to Christianity. It's not bound to God. It's bound to sin. Read Romans 3, it'll tell you we are bound to sin. We don't even want to attain God in our knowledge, he says in Romans 1. He says, well, they've all gone astray. That's the human will. Okay, don't ever think that we can change what we are. We cannot. We are what we are. And as Christians, we are what we are strictly by the grace of God. So God must be worshipped only as a spirit in a spiritual way. God then is a spirit. It's a foundation of spiritual worship. God began, God's being is infinite. And he must be seen, believed, and worshipped as such. 1 Timothy chapter 1, if you will. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul described the invisible God this way in 1:17. Now to the eternal King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul writes to Timothy, he tells him that God is King eternal, King eternal, King, King eternal. I mean, he'll never not be a king. Jesus will never not be a king. He is King eternal. King doesn't bow to their subjects. Subjects bow to the king. The king doesn't do the will of their servants. The servants do the will of the king. To put it in any other way is to put it awful. He's immortal and he's invisible. He's the only wise God. And to him is glory and honor forever and ever. For him. Now, God only gets glory from his own glory. He doesn't get glory from people. He gets glory from us only when he gives us something to do or some way to bring him glory. We bring glory to the Lord as a church, but who made us a church? The Lord did. We bring glory to the Lord as Christians. Who made us a Christian? The Lord did. See where I'm going? We bring glory to the Lord in our works, but who calls us to do our works? The Lord does. Ephesians 2:10. All of them were preordained and predetermined for the honor of God to accomplish all these things we do in life to bring glory to God. It's the glory that God gave to us to bring to him. If we have any crowns at all in the kingdom of God to cast before the Lord's throne, he will give them to us. And the reason he gives them to us is because he calls us to do a work to earn them. We weren't even able to do a work to earn them ourselves. See, when you look at the God of the universe, when you look at God as sovereign, you must look at everything as God being sovereign. He created the world out of his mouth by word. He spoke it into existence. It was dark and void. So the Spirit dwelled over the earth. and it was dark and void and water. Well, God doesn't want a dark world, does he? No. So God gave the world light. He didn't create anything for the light. He just, in Shekinah glory, gave the world light. Then what did he do? He brought up lamb, didn't he? Out, and the lamb was, he dried the lamb, and the lamb became profitable, didn't it? It separated the waters, didn't it? There's a 3,000 mile, thereabout, area of land that separates the Pacific Ocean and Atlantic Ocean. Lord brought these worlds up. And then the Lord started creating, didn't he? It was like the fourth day or fifth day, whatever it was, that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. All that time, the Lord had a light, didn't he? And you know what? It must have gotten dark because he said the evening and the morning were the first day. Well, there was no sun, moon, stars, nothing. So the Lord must have brought the light down and brought it back up in the next morning. We must understand the hand of God in everything. I said, this world believes in something called climate change, global warming. Any way you look at it, it's all fake. It's just a money game. Everything in politics, folks, is a money game. Everything, being president, being the son of a senator, being a congressman, being the governor, it's all about money. Money and power. About nothing else. A lot of religious activity, even Christian rites, even people call themselves Baptists, is in it just for the money. There's a reason the Lord told us not to be in it for filthy lucre's sake. God already knew what was going to happen, didn't he? Sure he did. God knows everything. When God is omniscient, that means that God has all knowledge and he doesn't know. He does not know anything. He knows everything. In John chapter 1, verse 18, John wrote these words, "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in his bosom of the Father, he had declared him." Did Moses ever see God? Who ever seen God? Well, apparently somebody has seen him, right? Else, how did Catholicism get all these marble statues that they have of God? And they don't just have them of God, they have them of the Holy Spirit. It's funny that God is a spirit, he's not a man. And here they got a statue made of him. It's not just Catholicism. It's other denominations that have them. They shouldn't have them. God told us they're graven images. Images of angels. Images of Christ. Images of God. Images of heaven. Images of hell. Images of the devil. They're all graven images. Because nobody knows what any of it looks like. People have seen the Son of Man, who's also the Son of God, but do we know what he looked like? No. I'll make you this promise. I'll make you this guarantee. I'd stake my life on it. Jesus Christ did not have long hair. I was told that the models of Jesus Christ were women. And he's made them into the image of a man. I think Brother Ronnie told me, Brother Meek had like 40 different images of Christ. Isn't that funny? Not really, but I mean, funny is that, you know, we are strange. Because there is not even one. People see Christ in the heavens, in the, they see him in the clouds. They see Mary in the clouds. Where'd they get a picture of her? But nobody has seen God. How could you see God? He's a spirit. How could you see the Holy Spirit? He's a spirit. He's the second part of the Trinity, isn't he? We only see Jesus Christ. We only see in Jesus Christ God. We don't see it in his physical being. We see it in who he was. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. He wasn't talking about his physical body. He was talking about his attributes, his existence, his being besides the body. But he is the image of God, not in the body, but in the things that he thought, the things that he said, the things that he did. And every part of his being, except his body, he was the image of God. It must have been special to have known him. Go back and read sometime in your spare time, 1 John chapter 1. The first five verses, six verses, when John talks about what it was like to be with Jesus. He tells us what it was like to be with Jesus. So does Peter. So does others. They tell us what it's like, was like to be with Jesus. You know, back then they didn't have much. I talk about the churches back then. I also talk about those service with the Lord at the time. The apostles, his disciples. They trusted this man. They believed he was God. They believed that he was ever been a God. When he was in John 6, he spoke of himself as God. And they murmured and walked off and left him, but the 11 that was with him stayed. First John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. I used all your names, I just left you there. So we know that God is light, don't we? It says in verse 5, and the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. The word light means to give light. He is. His Shekinah glory is light. This is speaking of his Shekinah glory, and it means the glory of his divine presence. His light. So, when he talks about 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, he says, if you're going to walk in darkness, verse 6, don't walk with me, because you're not going to walk with me. He says in verse 7, if you walk in light, that is, in the glory of the Lord, this book is the glory of the Lord. If you walk in his glory, then we walk in fellowship with the Lord. Now, the world may fall down around you. You may find out that you have a terminal disease. You might find out that you may never walk. You may never talk. You may never be able to hold a job. Many things may have been wrong with you through life, but one thing you will always do as a Christian is enjoy the glory of the Lord and the fellowship of God. Because that's the gift of God, and Satan himself cannot take that away from us. And go back to Genesis chapter 1. Spoke about this a while ago. I want to go through some of this. probably take most of the rest of her time, but I still want to go through it. I love Genesis 1. I love creation. I love to talk about, preach about, because when I talk about, preach about Genesis 1, about creation, I start studying it deeper and deeper and deeper. And every time I study something deeper and deeper, I learn more and more. So we see God is light in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, after he created the earth and spoke it in, into existence in verse 1, dark, and it was dark. He says, and the light shineth in darkness. I'm sorry, verse 2, I was in John 1:5. And the earth was without form. In other words, it was just covered in water. There was nothing on it at all. It was dark and nothing but water. And void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Nothing but darkness. Now think of this as though there's no light at all. Try to think of this as there's no sun, no moon, no stars, no anything. No light at all. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, moved upon the face of water, because that's all they were. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Light came from God. He didn't create anything. He didn't say, God created a light bulb and lit it up. No, God just spoke light into existence. The Lord lights up the sun. As hot and powerful as the sun is, and I'm talking about the sun in the sky that shines down and burns us up right every day now. God's the power behind that. God's the energy source for the sun. I don't care what people say. God's the energy source for the sun. It gives all the light, all the power. God gave light by his own kind of glory and through his divine presence. He just said, let there be light, and bam, there was light. God did not create the sun, moon, and stars till day 4, Genesis 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them bring signs, let them be for signs. For seasons, for days, and for years. Isn't that something? In Genesis 1, you knew everything that the almanac would teach you. And for those that don't know what an almanac is, it shows you how to tell the season. Many other things. When to plant, things like that. Verse 15, and let them be for light and firmament and the heavens, give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater rule light to rule the day, and lesser light to rule the night. He also made the stars. Even then, they are powered by the shining glory of God. Now, think about it. We don't know how many planets are out there, do we? I think they created their own mind, a new planet. I don't know anything about it. I've been watching some of the stuff on Mars. I'm kind of curious at looking at what Mars looks like from this robot they set up there. I may be looking at something in the desert out in California. I don't know. It's just fascinating to me. I've watched several long programs on YouTube about it because I want to see what's up there. I'd like to see what more about what's on the moon. Anywhere else we can send a robot. You know, it takes several years, I think, for it to get there. I think it's already destroyed now, but, you know, I'm fascinated by some of the pictures. They were actually water there, so they're naturally saying that there's life. Well, they don't know if life was there. They make things up. Go to 1 John chapter 1. Spoke about this a while ago. We're just going to go over there. So for us to walk in His light means we're walking in His glory. Everything about God's light is glory. The Lord says He gives us light to see, doesn't He? We see things lost people can't see, do we not? What we see is the Word of God.